so it is finally here, the Buffalo Main Street project. This project is scheduled to be let in April with a potential start date of May. Isaac will be talking more about the actual schedule. It'll be finalized once we have a contractor determined. But just to go over the general scope of the project, this is a pavement and preservation project, and it will run from mile marker 298.02 to 301.34, so essentially I-90 to I-25 through Main Street. We will also be doing the north-south bypass, which is part of the county's portion, that they will be redoing that as well. And then Main Street, the city will be utilizing their city dollars to upgrade water mains on Main Street from Hart Street to Fort Street, and then replacing a number of storm sewers between Trail and Holland Streets. And then they will also be doing some beautification, mostly replacing existing street lighting downtown. So that's kind of the scope of the project. In addition, we will be replacing the Cemetery Creek culvert south of town, and upgrading traffic signals at Hart Street. That's pretty much the scope of the project for now. It will be a two-year project, so we will be beginning May-ish of this year, carry through October, and then pick up again next spring with the final part, which will be the downtown component of the Main Street project. So downtown businesses, you're going to have a reprieve until next summer. So, Isaac?
All right. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Like Laura said, I'll go through the scope of work again real quick to kind of tell you what everything's going on, and then more importantly, I'll go through the phasing that we have set up for the project and when things are going to start going and when things will be occurring. Probably hold the questions till the end, and then we'll take them all at once, and there's a lot of people with a lot of questions, so kind of be mindful of that, but we're going to try to get through all of them, but we're here to answer those and make everyone aware of what's going on. All right, scope work, like Laura said, we're going to be replacing the surfacing on Main Street from Interstate to Interstate, I-90 to I-25. We're going to do that with a method called full depth reclamation. That basically grinds up all the asphalt and base that's in there right now. And then we take some out, blade it off, and put new asphalt there. So with that operation, that does allow traffic to remain continuous through there. It'll be reduced to one lane at a time during working hours. And then at night, it'll be opened up to two-lane traffic on the gravel that's left. So that's the main portion of YDOT that's going through. That's what we're doing to the road. In addition to that, we're going to do curb and gutter at select places. Some of the sidewalks and curb and gutter are in poor condition. We'll be replacing those. Also at all the corners of the intersections, which there's 29 of them through this stretch, we'll be upgrading all the ramps to be compliant with the current standard of the ADA requirements. So all those will be upgraded also. In addition to that, Laura spoke briefly on it, Cemetery Creek, which is on the south end of town. That box culvert is pretty much completely plugged and outlived its life. So we will be replacing that also within one of the phases that I'll talk about. That will be a pretty big undertaking. Traffic will be reduced to one lane with temporary traffic signals for that short section. So you'll come up to a temporary traffic signal, it'll be red or green, it'll be approximately a 1 or 2 minute wait at that light for traffic to go through, just so we can get that work done as fast as we can. Then we'll switch over to the other side of it and continue building that. But that will be a deep excavation, kind of a big work zone, that will have the traffic signal that you'll have to briefly wait at to go through to let people pass. Moving with more of the work that we're going to do in the downtown area, we are adding bulb outs, which are the curb and gutter that bulbs out into the road. We're adding those at Creekside and Fetterman, kind of on the north end of downtown by the bridge, and then on the south end of town, or south end of downtown at Angus, we'll add a couple more bulb outs to facilitate safer pedestrian crossing, shorter times to get across the traffic that's going through there. Let's see, Laura spoke about the traffic signal at Hart Street. We will be upgrading that. We'll be doing a bunch of work there and moving the one on the southeast corner that keeps getting hit by turning truck traffic. We'll be pulling that back a little bit and widening out that radius to accommodate truck turning movements a little better. The county is participating with us with their funds to mill and overlay the north and south bypass, and then a section of Rock Creek as you leave just north of the interstate. So they're doing that. Along with that, they're fixing a couple isolated reconstruction areas. We'll have some big dips and some rutting that I'm sure you have kind of around Buckingham Lumber. I think Scott's here. Buckingham Lumber and a couple smaller ones on the north bypass. That's part of this project. The city is going to be replacing their water line from Hart to Fort, whatever way you want to look at it, and then upgrading sewer taps, water taps, on those people that want to participate, and then definitely within that section we'll be doing that also. They did receive some funds from us for CSA funds, context-sensitive amenity funds. They're going to use those to replace the downtown lighting. So those will all be upgraded. They'll still be able to hang the banners on them. They'll just be a newer fixture and lighting it, because some of those are outdated and have some damage to them. Let's see. Also on that south end of the project, the school zone that's currently there with the flashing beacons, we're going to extend that to the south to encompass Rock Street, or the street that actually goes to the school. So we'll move that south flashing beacon for the 20-mile school zone. I think it's a couple blocks, so we're going to be moving this out to Brock Street to allow a crossing there for the school children to get to their schools. And that pretty much encompasses all the work that I'm remembering anyway. Now on to the proposed schedule. We will be doing this work in phases, and I can kind of come over here. These are the same pictures that are in your pamphlet. Phase 1, 2, and 3, which are shown in the pamphlet, will all be occurring this summer in 2024. So, like Laura said, we bid the project in April. We select a contractor and then sign contracts, keep going. Usually it should be about the first part of May or middle of May, get working on these phases. So the way the project is broken up is the south end is Phase 1 from Parmalee all the way out to the interstate. And just beyond that, actually, to where our property is. That'll be Phase 1. Within that is the Cemetery Creek box culvert and the full depth reclamation. There's a couple of sewer services and things like that that will be going on in that area. Phase 2 is the bypass, the county work, north and south bypass, and all the work that's incorporated within those. Phase 3 is the north end of town from I-90 coming back south into town to Hart Street. And all that work will encompass full depth reclamation and some curb and gutter ADA upgrades within that section also. So those three phases are going to happen this summer. We do have specific requirements within each phase regarding once you tear up the road, how long they have to get it back to the normal surface before they put traffic on it. They're required to do that before they put traffic on just a mess. They have to blade it off and make it to the final grade. They can only tear up so many feet of work at once and finish it before they move on to the next section. Those apply to pretty much all of those. The north and south bypass has a working window. The reconstructionists will go in and do those first, and then once they mill, they have a certain amount of time to get it paved and open back up to try to limit the impact that everyone's going to be seeing on that route. There's some specific requirements about fair and rodeo week, which areas we have to have open to allow traffic access, and they can't have traffic control or no work at least to hopefully help get traffic in and out of that area on the north bypass. I wouldn't say help. It's still going to be semi-inconvenient to do that, but we're going to do our best to move workers out of the area during that week when the traffic increases, and then we'll move them back in when they don't, or when fair and rodeo is over. Same on the north end. That phase also is full depth reclamation, and we'll grind that up. blade it back out before we keep moving down the road. They will be portions of section that seem long, but that is what we're working in to make that most efficient and get done fastest. That also includes the section that butts up to where Farron Rodeo is, the entrance to Farron Rodeo, and the bypasses. We won't allow work during that 1 week in that area to help the traffic in and out of there. That's 2024. Let's see if I missed anything. Like I said, that should continue through the summer. We do have a requirement in the construction of this that phase one and two are done prior to the start of school. So we want that all paved, with the exception of minor work, done prior to, I think it's the second or third week in August when the students and the teachers come back to school. So we're going to try to wrap up that and the big culvert before all the high school kids and the elementary kids and the buses start heavily using that route. So that's the plan for this coming summer. The following summer, we'll start up again in March, April time frame, depending on weather. That will be phase four and five, where we go into the downtown section. We've labeled them four and five as four, as the downtown area from Quarterly all the way to 4th Street. And five encompasses the city's waterline road from 4th Street to Hart Street. That we are working right now to get into the bid an incentive to complete that work prior to Memorial Day, the phase four. Phase five with the waterline work, that's a significant amount of work that will take the summer, and they can start in spring, but it will take most of the summer to do that. Phase four, the incentive we're proposing is if you finish by Memorial Day weekend, you receive a bonus, $100,000. If you finish 10 days earlier, every day earlier, up to 10, you get $5,000 extra for the contractor. If you start going after Memorial Day, that disincentives, we start taking where you don't get that $100,000. And that's purely being done to hopefully lessen the impact to the businesses in that area, to open that up during tourist season, along with kind of doing this work next year, getting a year to prepare for that coming. So I think, did I cover all the work that we are doing?
Yeah.
And when we're doing it?
I think so.
All right. The work will continue into the fall, October timeline, November timeline. Any work that's done this summer, if they get done really fast, they can propose to do other work as we allow it to hopefully speed it up the following year. That sometimes happens, sometimes not. But we're always open to it if we think they can accomplish it and not impact them later into the November, December, when usually snow starts to occur. So... that's what I have to say, Scott. Before we start taking questions, you have anything to add?
Very well.
That's a lot of information. So, I mean, ask questions or get with us. But I will open it up to the questions. Yes.
I will add that not in 25 for the downtown area. Did I mention it? I'm back for traffic mitigation. That. Downtown will be open. We'll be doing work under traffic, so there'll be traffic access through downtown at all times, and then there will be sidewalk access at all times, too. So there may be isolated areas where people will have to detour around or whatever, but people will be able to access the downtown area at all times. So parking will be shifted offline, but...
Yeah, great point.
You just went hard and healthy block from downtown.
I did forget to mention that, but yes, traffic will be going through and it will be opened up at night. It'll be one lane during the day, but the downtown sidewalks, they'll be open unless we're repairing sidewalk that is deep right in that area. We try to provide detours around that, or bypasses, pedestrian bypasses around those work zones. But it will be open. We won't be closing off each end of from Hart to Harmony or Hart to Angus.
Yeah, it won't be on Sheridan Main Street.
It won't be like that. We'll close out the blocks and make detours around. So it'll be open to get there. Parking will be very limited while we're working down there. Good point. And then on the back also, the public meetings, we will have those to start off weekly when we get the contractor on board. So every week we'll pick a location and a time. for anyone to come ask questions, see what's going on during the next 1 week, 2 week, 3 week to get their schedule and bring us any concerns. You don't have to wait for a public meeting. You'll be able to grab any one of the Wydot employees down on the project if you have a concern and register into them. But they're a time to hear what's going on and what's coming up. We'll do those weekly for a while to kick it off and see how they're going, and then most of the time they get bumped back to bi-monthly or monthly, depending on how the project's going.
Additionally, we'll have weekly updates in the Buffalo Bulletin, sharing the email, the advertising on them with weekly updates, just keeping everyone current on everything. And we also have our Facebook and our Instagram pages, which I'll post information on that too. So, and then the weekly emails that we'll be sending out with updates. There's lots of ways to stay informed.
Yep, and the best one is to get on the email list, sign it in the back to start off with.
And if you have any questions, shoot it to me and then I'll figure it out.
All right, no questions, I guess we're done. All right, we'll start off with questions. You want to pick them out?
So with the financial incentive to finish early, what's the assurance for quality control to make sure that they're just not finishing early to get the money?
Great question. The insurance is myself and sometimes Michelle, our other engineers, our other technicians that are out there testing it every day. We'll be on the project making sure they get done. We won't sacrifice speed over quality because we don't want to be here in a couple years fixing it. So. Good question.
Thanks.
Yeah, we better. Who's pointing? Are you pointing?
That's Lord's job.
Lord's job. All right, Lord's job.
So much pressure.
I know. You got it.
I saw Purdue right there.
Okay. My questions are threefold. In the beautifying, I have a downtown business, so I know, realize this is a 2025 question, but trees are staying?
The downtown trees are staying. Okay. With this caveat. There are sewer line and water line services that are getting replaced by businesses or landowners in that area. We are not assured that they don't go right through the bottom of one of those trees.
Okay.
So if we have to upgrade those, that might mean that a tree would be taken out in that process to upgrade that facility.
When they're replacing the lights, is there any money in the budget to replant trees?
That'd be a good question for the city. Along with the project, we do have what we call force account work. If trees get damaged and the city feels the need to replace those, there's money set up in the project that could do that, depending on where they go.
Okay. Next question. I'm sorry, I have three. I'll be fast.
You're fast. That's all right.
With the bulb outs, how many potential on-street parking places are going to be lost?
I don't believe there's losing any that aren't striped yellow right now. So they'll go within that yellow area, and there's already a small bulb out at the north end down by the restaurant.
What? By Fourth on Main?
Fourth on Main, yes. So where they're not supposed to be parking already, that's where those bulwarks are going to go. I believe. I think we put those in there. Right, because the bulbouts are going to be on the north side of the bridge, right in front of the Busy Bee, where there's not parking right now. And then by the fire hydrant on the other side, the pottery. I don't believe there's
going to be sacrifice any. Okay. And then final question is, with the water main upgrades, are they going to have the water completely shut off, and what time frame? Like, am I going to have to close my restaurant for 2 weeks?
So if you sign up to replace the water line to your restaurant downtown, that's just replacing the tap. I'm going to go with Brent here in the city. That would be a better question.
Yeah, so I would anticipate that they do that. The contractor will coordinate. If you're businesses that have restaurants and stuff like that, they'll always be coordinated so we don't impact your businesses. If they have to do it after hours, we could probably set that up with them too if they're coming down to them.
Okay, worth those 2 days a week, right? Is it a 2-day project? Is it a 1-week project?
Are you on?
I am on.
Just a tap, I believe.
So it's just a tap. So taps will be fairly. They can dig it and get it ready and then coordinate with you and use it in your lock. Okay. To get it ready.
And we want to, separate plumber, do you guys have people on the list that, right now I'm pumping my water into Sagewood's basement and going to the street that way. I want to add my help.
The sewer collapsed under our sewer many years ago.
So we're obviously going to be adding that, but I guess, what's your name and number?
That'd be best, sir. But the sewer and water taps, they typically, you know, I'm going to throw out there 2 to 4 hours if everything goes right, if it's just the tap. If they can find this, dig it up, and then they come and notify you, here, you know, we're going to have to shut off the water, can we say that this time, should be 2 to 4 hours, and then it should be turned on for taps.
I'll just say I'm going to leave a stack of cards on the table. So if you're a business that needs it,
There should be water and sewer taps. Grab a card there for
quick. Yeah, I'll just take one card here.
Right, they run out of the
staff.
I just wanted to tag on to that young lady's questions involving the green infrastructure around Main Street on Jacob McCarthy and Wyoming State Forestry Division. What are your construction protection SOPs in your contract, and how are you guys going to go ahead and administer? Are you guys going to be able to protect those trees in a certain work zone area so that the workers are not increasing compaction on the root zone and inadvertently bumping into them because there is no construction fencing around those trees?
Great question. The standard operating procedure would be, you know, the contractor, if he damages things during the process of work, he's required to fix those things. Around the tree break bases, we will be fixing the sidewalk so it's not heaved, and then making that a little better around those. So we'll work as cautiously as possible around those.
Who's going to judge the damage on the trees? Would that be the city? And would they be the ones that say, yeah, that tree is beyond repair, we need to remove it?
Yeah, that would fall to the city, and why not to evaluate that damage and make a determination.
Replanting, do you guys have in your specifications possible replanting sites? In case you do have to replant, so your scenario with your taps going underneath the tree, that tree needs to be removed, are you going ahead and being thinking forward and saying, well, if that one has to go, then we can ship it?
No, we have not considered where we'd be shifting those. We would try to find another suitable place for that if it's still wanted by that landowner, or put it right over top.
Species designation. Would you guys be working with someone that knows the appropriate species to be planting downtown so that we don't come into any conflict in the future as that tree continues to grow?
If we run into that situation, we would reach out through our contractor to contact those type of people that can make those recommendations.
I would like to offer our services as a certified arborist that's tree risk assessed qualified to be able to work with you guys on some of those questions. And the city as well. We're here for you all, and we're free.
You win.
I do.
Will you
and
please?
I did sign up. But
if you could give that to me, then I'll share it.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to assist in that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sir?
I've got several questions. Before I start with that, I think everyone in this room can attest to the situation that arose over in Sheridan this last year, which was short of nightmare. But the responsible party, and I... hope this doesn't fall back on Scott, but who's going to be the go-to person for the contract of activity? Are you going to have a site construction manager, site inspector? Where I'm going, folks, is pedestrian, merchant, customer safety downtown was not very well administered. And so I think we can take that as a lesson learned. When they had water hoses all over, they had broken down handrails, broken down barricades,
noise where there was no protection, equipment that was moving, no spotters around it. This is a very closely condensed little project over here, and I think all of those things are important. And then, aside from that, I haven't heard what the normal daily working hours will be. A lot of people that have apartments that live down there, and with activities such as this, you know, it'd be nice to be able to plan on when everything's going to shut down. Mm-hmm. You mentioned traffic being opened up, but still a lot of the merchants aren't going to know. I think there's a lot of in-depth consideration, and maybe this is another meeting to be held with the contractor. A lot of certifications, a lot of people that need to be highly skilled, not just low-key contractors, need to be active in this. And the other one I'd like to expand on is, y'all talked about traffic being basically, and then parking being basically the same. However, during the thrust of house tour season and different activities, the Longmire, the rodeo, all of those kind of things, you're going to have an influx. So has anyone thought to set up a location for parking and transportation to be provided to and run that parking safely? I haven't heard any of that. I think those are all things that need to be considered and or with the contractor so it's tightly structured. And it sounds kind of loose, open-ended to me right now.
All right, thank you for your questions. I can answer a couple of them.
I'll go on the first part.
Let me go first, because then you can go.
7 to 7 are the working hours.
7 a.m. to 7 p.m. are the working hours
that we specify they can work. They can ask for approval outside of those, and we consider that case by case, but typically not allowed in the downtown residential areas outside of that 7 to 7. Monday through Saturday.
Parking, parking, I believe the city and county have recently started discussing additional parking options, if anyone would like to speak to that. I'll put you on the spot.
I get put on the spot a lot. I saw Commissioner Shelley at Thick Body is going to be involved, Jody Towers has volunteered, and then Marge down at State Road, there you are. We're going to get together and come up with some plans on additional parking. And, you know, Commissioner Novotny was good at pointing that out that we need to get started on that. So thank you, Mr. Chairman. And we'll get working on that, and we'll find signage and some different parking areas.
My turn?
Yep, I think we saved best for last.
So as far as the inspection and responsibilities out there and stuff, like Isaac alluded to, our resident engineer couldn't be here tonight because he had something come up, who is Ann's supervisor, and that entire construction crew will be manned appropriately for inspection, dealing with the public, dealing with businesses, is just as much as we do all the time, and we do got a really good crew here. We're not shorthanded as much as we were a year ago, and so we're starting to heal up that way. As far as ensuring the safety, the most important thing is safety of the travel public. Okay, we all know that. And the business owners and that. We're always looking at that. We're going to have these public meetings, not only the public meetings weekly, but the project meetings probably the day before, day after. I don't remember what the sequence, day before. So you're right. Lessons learned. I started doing this 25 years ago on Grand Avenue in Laramie. And I've learned on other projects on Main Streets coming up through. And Isaac's been around a long time. Most recently, yes, lessons learned in Sheridan. We do the best we can. We are always looking at that, and that's all I can assure you. It all sounds really good. There is a plan, but we're still dealing with people. And the big thing is, when I'm talking about people, I'm talking about contractors, folks out there. We have those kind of issues in Sheridan, yeah, where... Whatever. I don't want to get too specific. Something as insane as just language out on the job. In a public place like that, it's not like you're out in the middle of nowhere and these guys are out there talking, right? So we have to get on about that, right? And there's the people part of it.
sometimes it's like being a teacher at school, you know, or a principal, like, dang it, you know. Think about that before you guys do that. So, anyway, the big thing is we got a huge public outreach program here. We've been doing that, and whatever you guys hear, anybody hears, do not hesitate to let us know, because we'll put it, I mean, it happened all the time. Laura was busy as heck in Sheridan this last summer with those type of things. And we still got two more blocks to go, so... We'll see how she does if she's still around at the end of this thing. or the end of this project, too. But anyway.
Give her $100,000 loan.
Well.
I like the way you think.
That's not a direct answer, I know. But it's something that we've discussed. We don't have a contract yet. So when we get that contractor on board, we have pre-construction meetings. We have those weekly meetings as we just hammer it home, you know, and talk about that. And we'll bring up the things you just brought up, you know. We have got to be cognizant, them, us, the public, the travel, or the business owners, of what's going on out there. And everybody has to be on the lookout safety-wise, 150% of the time.
Scott, do you want to talk about collaboration?
Oh, and then we also have a collaboration program. And basically what that is, it's set up in our contracts now between YDOT and the contractor. And in this case, the public can come in and businesses, where we all get together and we bring up these, and we have a pre-meeting before the job, and we talk about, okay, if this issue comes up, that issue comes up, we have a plan of action all the time. We don't do that until we get the contractor on board, okay? So these are the things we talk about and we emphasize. And then emphasize every week, or every day, whatever, but we have those meetings every week. So.
And then we have monthly surveys among the collaboration team, like to gauge like where we're at, what we need to improve on, what are we doing well. So we are constantly striving to avoid some of the concerns you brought up and to do a little foresight and like just kind of gauging the climate of the project and the community and those that are involved and kind of trying to get ahead of things. And so it was very successful down in Sheridan. Like any project, you're going to have things that you just can't foresee and just things you can't control, but we did a really good job of getting on them and taking care of them and resolving them, and for the most part, that job was pretty successful.
We
can I close with just one thing? I didn't mean to do that. I want to throw this at Wyoming DOT. There's probably 80% of the towns in Wyoming that are just like Buffalo that have the main drag, the main highway going through it now. It's rerouted with an interstate, but it's still maintained. Original. And I know what the budget is for this year, and it's very large. Have you given thought to something like purchasing a couple of the buses like they use at airports, a personnel carrier, and bringing those in either, and I know there's an insurance liability here, but leasing them or something to the contractor to provide transportation for people in these small towns, and that was one of the biggest hits, because they said, oh yeah, over in Sheridan, everybody here probably experienced that. You can park behind the buildings in the alley, they're letting you park. Several times I went over there, more than once, and then, yeah, you can park behind them, but it's four blocks before all the barricades that were so poorly constructed that you can get around the barricades to get where you need to be, and then you walk another four blocks up the street. So to offset some of this parking nightmare in these projects are great. To have some kind of a transportation mechanism like that and a schedule, and you can shuttle people downtown or something like that.
Sure, and I think that's what the mayor was talking about. You know, they're getting together and talking about these things. And if it comes to transit like that, that's something we don't do on our projects like this. It's a federal project, and we wouldn't be allowed to spend money on that kind of stuff. But so, as a call of partnership, because that highway is through town and Main Street of the city, there's where we ask our local authorities, local governments.
Well, it shouldn't be on the city. You can put that back on your contractor. And I know you can, because I've been involved in those kind of situations. You know, this is their project. It's big. They throw a few more dollars in it, or whatever, addressing it. But it becomes the burden of the cities. And it shouldn't be the burden of the cities. Oh, anyway, nothing.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Mostly a comment or request. A lot of our concerns as business owners, I'm a downtown business owner, is that we'd like to have some signage or some direction about where to go. For example, when they do the downtown area, it's not this summer, next summer. It would really be nice after they make the turn on 4th Street if there was some signage that said, go down Brick and park at the ball field, you know, to get access to that. If you're doing the replacing the water line on North Main Street, maybe take Lobbin down to get downtown. I mean, those kind of things where we have signage and routes that are lined out and we can educate people on that, that would surely be helpful more than anything else. But that's a pretty cheap thing to do, you know, to do that, to direct the traffic around so that they can get to them.
And we've done that on past projects with business names. And,
you know, same thing on replacing the culvert cemetery. You can say this is the preferred route to get around it, and, you know, that kind of thing.
And so with the Sheridan project last year, my weekly updates that I put in the newspaper and the radio spots or whatever, I would, like, give detour options, like, this block is detouring around to this, and there's suggestions. It's not an absolute. We found it in Sheridan that people just kind of self-navigated and found their own detour and alternative, which,
well, I'm worried more about the tourists.
Right.
You know, everybody knows how to get around.
And we have that same issue in Sheridan, and, you know, through all the ones that we advertised that, I think we did pretty well at getting people around. And
you know, like Main Street, we've got the big ball field thing. I mean, it's a great place to park. You're going to find out that's the best place to park anyway, probably with these big groups. But we really would be really nice to have something to direct you.
Yeah, well,
we've used those construction signs and then also our big electronic signs to direct people for parking.
Just a request. I think that would be a cheap thing that would really help mitigate some of the impact that we're going to have on
them. Yeah. We do it all the time.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That would be part of my outreach.
Yeah. That guy's been waiting for a long time.
Phil, what are you doing?
I'm on the trail board. So I'd like to talk about, have you talk about opportunities for more sidewalk tying into the prison trail systems, both on the south end and the north side, and the truck bypass. And we would like to be part of that discussion of what it looks like. We can't tell you how to do it, but we can tell you what we would do, because we're the ones that maintain it. And I can tell you there's things that we're not.
So,
go ahead.
So you're wanting to add this project now?
Well, I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know what you have built into for sidewalks or into the prison trails. Because
right.
There's a trail up on Cemetery Road.
Yeah.
And then there's an opportunity on the south end of town to take it down past the fairgrounds under the interstate and keep on going. It'd be nice if that was put in, so that later on we don't have to think about doing it. And then if we tie it in now, then the residents on each end, they can use those sidewalks, trail systems to come in and out of town. Because we don't have that now. Right now you walk down the road.
Right, so the intent of this project is the preservation of what we have there. And that's due to a lot to do with the budgets that we have to live by. So this project does not incorporate in new trails.
Well, we're not talking new trails.
Or new
trails. But you are pulling out Rotomill, and you can use Rotomill for a trail.
Off the road.
Off the road.
Right.
You can widen it out. But right now it's too narrow. If you walk towards the high school, and it's too narrow, it looks like another perfect.
Yeah, and like I said, we're not going to incorporate any of that into this project, but there's other programs out there to do that. Julie knows about them very well. They're called our Transportation Alternative Programs, and we have a local government coordinator and program that does that within YDOT. And so those are the things that need to come forward to us in town, or the city and the county.
Well, I think you missed the opportunity by not incorporating them into the project.
Sure, and nobody came to us with questions, you know, so.
Well, nobody asked us.
Okay, we do.
Good.
Start with Johnson County Road Bridge. There is a trail that's going along the south bypass for the third grade down there by the Super 8 where the trail goes in and goes up and then comes around and ties back into Main Street there across from Cemetery Creek.
Yeah, and you've talked about that, but We've never seen the design.
There's not much you can change on that, Bill. Those are federal dollars, and we got to spend them the way the federal guys tell us to spend them.
Yeah.
And now, by their standards, we can't use rotomill or gravel or anything. They have to be hard surface. Either have to be concrete or asphalt. And we've been working on this a long time.
Well,
we started back in 2015.
That was not suggested, like you did on number 3 years ago now. That walk is 4 to 5 inches below the road surface. So when they plow the snow, all the snow goes on the trail. So I wait till they get done plowing, I go clean it out, they come back, and I go back and clean it out. Because it is. Otherwise, you're walking on the road.
Any more questions specific to this project?
Over here? Okay. And I'm asking this for my husband who had to step out, so I hope I can even know what I'm asking. The water taps for the buildings. We have a building downtown. We got a letter, an email, and I'm not sure if this goes to the city or YDOT, but it talked about a cost going from the line to the curb, and then a cost from the curb to the building or something. I don't know, and I'm not even sure. I didn't see the email. He did. And that's why he came to the meeting, but he did have to step out or something. So it was, it seemed like it was overlaid, like, if you're going to do this, why are we paying twice, $3,500 here and $2,500 here? So that's what I'm just wondering about. Did anybody else get that email? And, you know.
So that would be a secret.
I can probably speak a little bit on the cost. So the two costs are, one is associated with the water service, the other one associated with the sewer service. And just because the different components we go into those, there's different costs in part.
The concrete is what he was wondering about, because if it's going to be all done at the same time, why would he pay for this concrete? Because that's what it mentioned in the letter, and you're paying for it twice.
So YDOT is not doing all the concrete, if that makes sense. They're doing select areas that have either heaved or been, as they've designated as damaged and needed replaced. So if it's a section where, say, your curb stop is in the sidewalk and you have to replace that curb stop, that's what it's referring to, is just that window take that panel out and replace that curb stop and backfill and put that piece of curb or sidewalk back in.
Okay.
And so that, so what that's referring to is just associated with the service, not necessarily with what YDOT's doing. If
and they can't coordinate and do it at the same time. That's what we were.
I think there will be coordination.
That was,
yeah.
And where the cost could go down. That was a big chunk. It was like $6,000.
I saw that quote. And it cost more than it did cost me to replace my sewer to the main, not at Century Club.
Yeah, and the costs are based on, so what we did is we quoted contractors on what the cost to do that, and that's where those costs come from. Because we don't have a contractor to work on this project yet. So in order to give businesses the opportunity to participate in that, you know, we had to give them something, had to give them a cost for what the city's costing to do that. But I'd be happy to think about that.
Okay, that was my
thing.
Thank you.
And over here, just a quick add-on
on
the parking. We are not Sheridan Main Street. We are Buffalo with the gateway to the mountains, which means toy haulers, fifth wheels, large vehicles all the time, 12 months a year. So when you consider the parking, could you please consider the tonnage of the vehicles that are coming through here, the logging trucks, the freight trucks, and our RV. So it would be nice that you take that in consideration also. But you would have to address that. We kind of keep hearing cars and trucks, but not the commercial and the vacationers.
Yeah, I'm sure the committee that you guys informed would consider a lot of that and where to park those type of vehicles. So,
so I have a question about the sidewalk barrier that you had in Sheridan, you know, where a group that I was with, we hung artwork on that construction. Are you going to have that here in Buffalo or no? Or what kind of a safety construction barrier are you going to have between the sidewalk and the construction?
So
downtown?
Right, great question. So in Sheridan, for people that didn't see it, they had the construction fence, the 6 foot tall, 7 foot tall construction fence with some screening on it. What they did in Sheridan was a completely different type of operation. That's concrete and digging out more utility work than what we're doing here. So we are not going to have that fence with the screening on that.
Okay.
This operation should be a lot quicker and less dust than cutting that concrete.
That was really very well received.
That was a great idea. That was great.
I have a question more towards mentioning the Main Street over there. Number one question was, you said you have it all in here. Where is number five? I did not
include 4 and 5 because this was just project year 24.
We didn't get you that picture.
Okay, because I took the
wrong
picture.
You did, yeah, that's right.
Okay, I want number one. And then number two was, I know it's 25 and it's a long time, but how long would that project take to get this kind of, because that was probably most of the people's concern here is Main Street. How long does it take and how long is it disruption?
So the construction will be the entire summer of 2025. The phase four, like we discussed, is that phase that we're going to put the incentive on to hopefully get the contractor to go in and pave and open it back up Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
You know, plus or minus. There's disincentive to keep going. There's weather. There's other factors. But that's one way we can try to speed that up.
Okay.
And then the water line work, that will be the entire summer, most likely.
The whole length
at once? No, when we do the water line work, we might come in and grind up the whole road, blade it down to gravel, and then it'll be 3 blocks of water line at once.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll work within that 3 block section, possibly even shorter, and then kind of hopscotch down the road as they go. That first initial patch to get all the asphalt off and bladed might be that whole section, but then once they do it, start digging trenches, that'll be limited to fill in what they finish before they keep moving. Good question.
My pointer's not paying attention.
Stay
I'll do it. I'll go for it.
You say 7 to 7 is your work schedule. That's when they start working, but equipment starts a little earlier, and that can be a hassle. It's going to be a place to park the equipment off of Main Street so that it doesn't disturb people at 6 a.m. when they start to fire those things up and get them warmed up for the work.
Great question. We do enforce 7 to 7 for warming up the vehicles, starting the backup alarms and anything like that. So that is the 7 to 7. With us, with the type of operation we're doing, with the full depth reclamation, that's one machine that they pull off of the road and park out of the way to get it back to two-lane traffic. So hopefully there's not a lot of noise or moving in prior to that 7 other than vehicle traffic for people starting to get to their equipment.
Sure.
I have a question about the intersection on the north side of Fort Street where the intersection crosses, or the crosswalk crosses Main Street there,
mm-hmm.
Will that people crossing remain, that pedestrian crossing?
Yep, the kind of diagonal one?
Yeah, it goes from the parking area across to the east side of Main Street.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that one is going away. That won't be done under this project. That intersection and those traffic signals are getting updated with different funding and money after this project. but that crosswalk will be going away. That's a fairly unsafe crosswalk with those turn movements.
Yeah, I think you'll find it's more unsafe without the pedestrian guidance.
Yeah, so the pedestrian guidance will guide them to cross Fourth and then Main.
Yeah, this is Wyoming.
Yeah. Well, you can't change people, you know, if they don't follow directions. But yeah, it's,
you know, they're going to cross. Yeah. So if you take that away, what you're doing is you're just going to create a problem.
But you
have
a business there, you could
do
the flag and walk
them across. Oh, yeah. I don't stay there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
do.
I do.
that intersection?
Yeah, when you exit yourself by all the people turning left. Yeah.
Right, so that crossing that's there now, the one from the county parking lot, diagonal across to, I can't remember the...
The tea room.
That diagonal crossing will be going away.
Yeah.
That intersection is not on this project.
Okay.
That's getting upgraded with some electrical funding for all the whole overhead structure and everything.
So that's not going to be part of your installation of the new signal, right?
That will be on Hart Street. At, by First Interstate Bank.
Okay. Well, his question just reminded me. Okay, so when they redid the alley in Lavin, which, thank you so much for that, all of the construction workers used the private parking that belonged to the Carousel Center. Which we obviously came to work an hour later than they did, and so we were having to park really in a distance, even though we have access to private parking, and the construction workers were using that private parking. How is that going to be addressed so the contractors that get there before the business owners are not hogging up all the parking?
A past project, we've addressed it by requiring the contractor to park off-site as much as they can, so they don't have employee vehicles taking up parking spaces, and they take, you know, four people in one vehicle to get to the construction site. So we have used that in the past as an encouragement to not take up parking spaces.
Well, I don't know that you have the same contractor. I'm just saying that was not followed for the Lavin Street construction,
right,
or alley. And even our alley, and I don't know if they're still addressing it, still has some drainage issues. So they were supposed to come back in place, and I know that's not you.
Yeah.
And I, like, honestly, I'm just so happy that it's not potholes. But also the using the private parking and then interfering with the people that actually work there was an issue.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Quick question. You know that little on Main Street, right in front of my shop, is the one area where there's an angle? And it goes, the street goes like this, and the sidewalk comes out. And I'm wondering if they're going to...
The wave island?
No, there's no island. No, I'm not going to go in front of the green color across from the hitching post, across from Crazy Moon Square, and the street literally goes like this, and then there's a, the curb comes out. And it's just awkward for parking. It's just kind of an odd thing. I'm just wondering if that's going to get curved, if the curbs are going to be redone, and if that sidewalk will just be curved. It's literally a spot like this there.
Yeah. Find me after the meeting here.
Sure.
And I'll look at exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
Look
at below. Thanks.
All right. Question?
I wonder, are we planning on widening the street at all in place? Another question, on North Main, a lot of the people who live there and have businesses have strictly Main Street access to their buildings. Also, there are some curb areas that need redoing up there because they weren't properly done. Perfectly.
I think I got most of that. Access to, you know, residents or approaches, those will be maintained during the project. Like I said, traffic will be going through there, and the contractor will have to keep those open definitely at night. And if he's working through there through the day, he provides temporary access around that to that driveway or approach, whether it's a house or a business. On the north end, I think you're asking about. I didn't catch the first.
No, we're not widening.
Not widening.
Not widening. Okay, yep. No, we're not widening. It'll be the same footprint that's there right now.
Okay. And, you know, like I say, there's some places where the curbs good. Like, for example, they run the curb halfway into your driveway or parking lot so that you have to drive over the curb and get in. I wonder if you're going to correct any of that.
We're doing isolated curb repair that's damaged. So I have to look at some specific plans to see if it's where you're talking about or not. If it's damaged or broken, then we're trying to catch as much of those as we can.
Well, who can we talk to specifically about that?
Probably me. Yeah, they probably me. I'll give you a card after this. You can come grab me, and then you give me a call, and I can look at the plans to see exactly what we're talking about.
Good, thank you.
Yep.
So, technically, for clarification, YDOT's right-of-way is curb-to-curb. Is that correct?
Not everywhere.
Is that in the construction plans, the deviation?
Our right-of-way is identified in the construction plans, yes.
Yes.
That's not always a general rule. It could be back to curb, back to sidewalk.
Well, could be building face, yeah. Building face.
Right, I understand that, but for clarification for these folks, I think that's important. Because you're talking about tree, you're talking about curb, reconstruction, you're talking about... And part of where I'm going is, it's almost inevitable that every construction project is contracted.
Thank you.
So all landowners affected, whether we're going to be working on their property or acquiring their property, have been contacted, and those agreements have been made.
Okay, well, we're pushing 6:30, but one more question.
Okay. Have you identified staging areas, I guess, at the different locations where your contractor will be staging equipment and stuff?
Yes.
I'm curious.
We have some, our property by I-25, on the east side of I-25. The large triangle area where I think the city had went up pile snow by the Cemetery Creek Culvert, that'll be a staging area. On the north end, our right-of-way varies, so some of the white spots there, those have been identified right now, and we look at them as we get through the project also.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.